Good morning. I'm so happy to be here and be with you guys again. I want to just give you a forewarning and let you know that it's okay. What I'm going to say very soon is probably going to make your eyes roll like my kids used to go. Okay? And it's okay if you need to do that or want to do that, but this is something I love to say on this date every year. And if you want to say it with me, you certainly can. May the 4th be with you.
Oh. That's so bad.
Is that not I've always loved it. When the movie came out, I loved it. I think a couple of reasons. One is I love the play on words, the fourth and the force. And I think I liked it too, especially because I thought, well, the meaning behind it, may the force be with you. It's kind of what we teach, you know, that power within. So may God be with you. You know, it's kind of, for me, that's kind of what it always was. And I don't know about you, but as long as I can remember, I mean, even as a teenager, I was always looking for ways to have a closer relationship with God or spirit or presence or source, whatever your name is, you know, for that supreme all being. I want more. I heard the phrase some years back, practicing the presence, and for me that exactly says what I want. I want to keep practicing the presence. I want to feel more and more of that. Practicing the presence is different from practicing almost anything else. If you're going to practice at a musical instrument, for example, that's different. If you want to practice some sports, something or other, practice when you're learning a new skill, a craft, or something like that. You practice, and you get better at it. Practicing the presence is very, very different, and I think it's different, and the ways that it's different, all those other things, usually there's an end goal, and there are objectives to get you to that place where you're a good volleyball player, or you're whatever it is, or you can play passing awareness of being able to play some instrument. All of those are measurable, they're visible. It's not like that with practicing the presence. I'm going to ask some questions now, and these are not to be answered out loud or visibly. This is for you, not for me. Okay. Do you meditate regularly? Just think about that. Daily? In a decision-making moment, do you stop and turn inward before you make that decision? In our world today, this one is a little harder. Do you choose to see everyone as a child of God? And equally difficult, I think, sometimes is the last question is, do you see yourself worthy of good things? Mm-hmm. Now the differences, as we've already said, are different in the way you practice. The other is more obvious. On these questions, though, practicing the presence, only you can evaluate the answer. And there is no right or wrong answer. Because in unity, just like all of this has been saying, that this is the best day. There's nothing wrong with you just the way you are right now. In unity, we teach and know and believe and bring it to mind when we need to. We're so loved as a creation of the Most High. We are so loved, just like we are. And in fact, we reap the benefits of our connection. According to the level by which we practice, we're doing all that. If you think of a waterfall, there's always water coming over this waterfall. It's just pouring down. God, the blessings are like that. So we can go to the waterfall with a teaspoon or the cup or with the biggest bucket we can find. The blessings are always there to be had. As we're practicing the presence, there is no one that can impose a punishment for not doing it. Closest thing I could think of as I wrote that line, when I was in ministerial school, one of the requirements was that we were supposed to be at the Fillmore Chapel every morning at 7:30 for the daily word reading. I don't even know if they still do that or not, but at that time they did. Now it makes you feel kind of like a 10-year-old when you have to come. We had to sign in. And there were consequences, but we are not punished by any of the, whether you practice the presence or you don't, you just live the consequences, basically. And there are consequences for just about everything. Eric Butterworth wrote, and I think this is so important, where did I find it? He wrote that we are not punished for our sins, our error thinking, but we are punished by our error thinking. Mm. So those blessings that we talked about, if we have error thinking, we might think, well, I don't deserve that, or there's not enough for me, and so the error thinking is going to block the blessings. That's the consequence, not a punishment necessarily. And the best part is we get to choose. We always get to choose. People might when they hear that, they might start thinking, well, there are things I have to do. You know, I have to follow the speed limit. I have to do this. There are laws, there are regulations, and da 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 da. No, you still always have a choice. You may not like the consequence to disregarding the law or the regulation, but you have the choice. You can be jailed or fined. If you treat somebody badly, they probably aren't going to want to be around you. They'll probably leave. I would. We experience the consequences of our thoughts and actions. But we always get to choose. If we choose not to practice, we will experience the consequences. Now, there was a minister who was a teacher when I was going through ministerial school, and she used to stress how important it was to do self-care. As a minister, you're feeding people on a regular basis, and if you don't take care of yourself, you'll crash and burn. So self-care, self-care, self-care. And she told the story of how self-care includes, maybe is important to note, that for us in the ministerial program, self-care is finding time to be with Source, finding time to be with God, prayer, meditation, taking that time. In fact, when I was in ministerial school, there was a period of time, I don't remember which quarter it was, but I was meditating like Charles used to do for 2 hours every evening. Mm-hmm. And you think, how do you get things done? It's like a time warp kind of thing. It just stretches. It's powerful. Where was I? Oh, so this ministry. So she knows, you know, how important self-care is. She knows how you need to do this, and yet when she got out to her ministry, she began, it was going well, you know, things were growing, and consciousness and size and so forth, and then there were some, and she just sort of kind of fell away from the practice of meditating and all that, and then she started noticing that there were things that were going wrong, and she was getting frantic, and she was getting upset, and then it's kind of like, I could have had a V8. only this awareness was I should have been doing my self-care. Would it have changed the things that broke down? No. But the way she handled it, the way she was able to deal with it, and she would have changed. It is said that we are both fully human and fully divine. I believe that completely. And we live in both worlds. Things are happening. We have to prioritize. We get busy. Things have to be done. Some things, well, we always get to choose. If you don't have things a certain way, then you know it isn't to our advantage. So that busyness, that prioritization, you know, making a priority of things that don't include self-care has a consequence. We might begin to notice that things are not going so well. So we look at those questions again, the one that we had earlier. Do you meditate regularly? And I have to confess, I don't. My bad. It's because when I do practice meditation regularly every day, is what I like to do, when I do that, there's just a calmness, peace that I have. It is mine, you know, and it allows me to experience things differently. Nobody's going to get on you or say anything or criticize you for not meditating regularly. It's up to you and your maker. But I can tell you from experience, when I don't do it, I begin to feel... When you do meditate regularly, there is the blessing of peace and calm and trust for me. The next question was, in a decision-making moment, do you stop and ask inwardly? Again, I would like to say that yes, I do that. I do sometimes. And I really can tell the difference when I make a decision after going in. Now, I almost always, like 98% of the time, if there's a decision that needs to be made that has some import, I will not do it until the next day. I make sure that I give myself some time, you know, to look at it. But if I don't stop and ask inwardly, it's really easy to get into the human side of push and pull and, you know, all kinds of things that aren't even relative to the decision come into play. When I go inside, I just know the highest and best, that divine idea comes to me. Do you always choose to see everyone as a child of God? Again, I would love to say yes, but I don't. Most of the time I can get to seeing that person as a child of God, so I don't hold whatever it is that's there. If you don't see everyone as a child of God, then the duality begins to, you know, just like in Star Wars with the light and the dark energies, if you don't see everyone as a child of God, there is an us and a them. Which is not true. It's not false. It is a false belief. Here's one. Do you see yourself as worthy of good things? I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I don't want to bother God with that prayer. It's not like that. You know, God isn't keeping score. There's not this human-looking being that's got some sort of list. Oh, let's see, Sharon prayed yesterday. I don't think I'll listen to her today. No. Do you see yourself worthy of good things? When we think about it and remember that God is all good, there is nothing else. There is no doubt. There is no jealousy. There is no, you know, that Old Testament God is the creation of the people that were living at the time. The reality is God is all good, always. And you, as the offspring, are worthy of all good. Take the big bucket to the waterfall. One more thing to consider, and that's making meaning. I believe that humans were wired to be very aware of cause and effect. They had to be, because if you didn't understand that if I do this, this will happen, you could easily get killed, eaten by a tiger or something. You know, that's what we're wired for. We don't have the same kind of challenges, but we still have that wiring, and so it makes us want to understand why bad things happen. There's a book that was written by that name, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Mm-hmm. We want to know cause and effect. Why did this happen? Whose fault is this? Sometimes we'll blame ourselves. If I hadn't skipped church yesterday, I wouldn't have been in that car accident. I'm being punished for slacking off. Recognize that kind of reasoning? Why is God allowing all of these disasters and happening? Why doesn't God step in and fix this? Recognize that one? This presence, this God presence is everything. It isn't, I think of it mostly as an energy. It's in all life, it's in everything. It is all good. As these things happen, we experience the consequences of our thoughts and actions. We don't have control over very much in reality. We think we do, and we try very hard to have control. Some things we can organize and make it easier for ourselves, and that's fine, but control, not so much. We're not responsible for everything that happens. Sometimes when they call it metaphysical malpractice, I think when Job, remember all the things that happened bad in the Bible, Job, and people were asking, his friends were asking him, what did you do? What is your thinking been that is causing all of this? We're not really causing. There's nothing that we can do to control things, but as we are fed, we can control our, that's all we can do is manage our reactions. And the more prayed up we are, the more we have practiced the presence, the better we are at controlling our reactions. Seeing what is possible to do, what is mine to do. God is only good, and we are not being punished. So what happens when we neglect practicing the presence of a few things? Probably find ourselves anxious, upset, and often there's, in my life, I've felt like I'm being tossed around, you know, by the situations in life. Ever feel like that? Like, is this just too fast? It's too crazy. I can't keep up, and, you know, I'm not practicing the presence enough. When we practice, we stay anchored in that peace that Jesus described. I'm paraphrasing, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. And we know that there is that peace that is internal. It is a part of that power, that presence. We can be peaceful, we can be loving, we can be trusting, we can be grateful, we can be open and receptive to that divine wisdom that comes through. That's when we practice the presence. We get to choose, and I think we all, because we're here, I think we all want to practice and take the biggest buckets that we can find to that waterfall of blessings. God bless. So let's take a moment now to practice the presence, to get us into that space of alignment and connection. Let us first repeat together the words that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer. So together,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
If you're comfortable doing so, close your outer eyes to better limit the distracting sensory things that are happening around us. Or focus on the candle, or just let your eyes go soft. We regularly do this in our meditations here at church. We do these things at home. It's like we're gathering our energy, our attention, and turning it within. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder, talked about the heart being the meeting place of the divine in ourselves. And so I envision, or I focus my attention on that heart space. At the same time, I quiet my mind as best I can by having my mind listen to the heart, be open and receptive to the heart, to the connection, to the alignment, to presence. Presence is the truth of our being. It isn't something we have to invite in each time. It is there, always. That error thinking that we mentioned before is often that we are separate from that presence. We are never separate from that presence. We might not be acknowledging it, we might not even be aware. It could be that our senses are so topsy-turvy that we can't breathe, we can't come to that quiet place. And that's okay. Just the routine, the action of sitting and quieting of the body, and as best we can, the mind regularly begins to make that quiet everywhere present for that duration of time. Practicing the presence is when and as we allow that stillness to be our present moment reality. We find that we are bathed, if you will, in peace, in joy. And that love that we talk about, that God is, we feel and express, we know, we experience that love. Practicing the presence is nourishing. Revitalizing. Calming. And even though it seems strange to be calm, we can also be energized at the same time with a zeal that Charles Fillmore talked about. I spring forth with zeal. And so as we come here together, my beloved church community, we come here to support each other as we practice the presence. As we see that Christ in each other, always. We are growing. We are supporting the growth of every person here. We are practicing the presence. So let's take just a few moments now in stillness as we practice and allow ourselves to be still. Have our attention focused in our heart center and be open, listening to the heart in the silence. Being in the silence can do a number of things. It can allow divine ideas to be acknowledged, to become conscious. It can endow on our beings that sense of safety and well-being. All is well. Confident that James Dillard Freeman knew this experience when he wrote that. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. We may well be enlivened, we may be excited, we may be grateful, we just might be quieter. We might have needed some comfort or some strength, and so we come out of this feeling all those things, those having that experience. It's more than a feeling. It is a recognition of all of the faculties in us. We are grateful. We are so grateful for this awareness, this knowledge, this truth with the capital T. We can practice the presence anytime we choose, every time we choose, and our lives are made so much better. Like Faith Rivera in that first song, this is the best day yet, and tomorrow is the best day yet. We are grateful. We're grateful for the awareness, the recognition, and the acknowledgement, the acceptance and acknowledgement of these truths. We incorporate this into our very being. So with much love and much gratitude, we just simply say, thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Presence. We are grateful. And so it is. Amen.